Good Monday to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. Are there some issues in your contemporary society which are amazingly contradictory and conflicting? Here are two which really challenge what seems reasonable to me currently in my part of the world. Gender identity. Some people are demanding that others view them and interact with them as a person of the opposite gender from what they really are. And gender transition people demanding their right to participate on sports teams of their preferred gender, not their birth gender. Biological boys participating in girls' sports after having gender-altering treatment. Do both of those issues seem like foolishness to you? Did you know the gospel of Jesus Christ seems like foolishness to many people? In fact, join me again today with the Apostle Paul as he is writing his first letter to the Christians living in a very confused city, Corinth, in about 55 AD. Paul knew the Christians then, as today, were ridiculed by people who really didn't want to understand what Jesus had done to prove God's love for them and offer them rescue from their sin bondage. Why? Because for many of them, their sin was fun. Their sin was rewarding, as cheating often can be. For others, their sin was enslaving, and they couldn't imagine being set free. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It's true, isn't it? The cross is the center of God's gospel of Jesus Christ for humanity. That's why the cross has been the tangible symbol of Christianity around the world since the days of Jesus. His atonement death on the cross was the primary purpose for which God the Son incarnated here on earth in a human body, right? But the cross does seem like foolishness in any society, any generation, doesn't it? That Almighty God would come here to earth, he created, taking on a human body and allowing the human race he created to reject his truth, mock and humiliate him, beat him and hang him on a cross like a piece of refuse. It makes no logical sense, does it? But from God's perspective, the cross is the symbol of God's ultimate love, God's ultimate willingness to forgive, God's ultimate hope for humanity. That's why the Apostle John, who stood at the cross and watched Jesus die, wrote this, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. Oh my, we need to pause a few seconds. While the cross seems like foolishness to people far from God, the cross has powerful purpose and global significance because of what God did with that cross and his Son, Jesus. Of course, a fundamental life and death question right now is appropriate. What is the significance of the cross of Jesus Christ in your life? Did you notice the two categories of people Paul identifies in this statement about the foolishness of the cross? Those who are perishing, and in contrast, those who are being saved. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. What determines which group you and I are in? And is it any different for our spouses and our children and our friends and every person in the whole world? And by the way, these are the only two categories of human beings according to what God calls his book of life, which will be opened at the judgment of the great white throne according to Revelation chapter 20. What is this book? And when, why, and by whom will it be opened then? The book of life is God's book in which are written the names of those who are being saved, as Paul said it. These are the people who have repented of their sin and fully trusted in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation from their sin condemnation. They are the people to whom God applies the death payment of Jesus as he declares them forgiven, justified, adopted into his family, and assured of eternity with him in heaven. It will be opened at the time all humanity is standing before Jesus Christ, the ultimate judge, And as each person stands in judgment before Jesus, this book of life will be searched to see if their name has been recorded there as a person who has trusted Jesus and is saved from condemnation to hell. Matthew's record tells us that Jesus told his disciples that those whose names are recorded in the book of life will be invited into heaven by God with these words, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you." Matthew 25, verse 31 to 34. That same record also reports Jesus said this about those whose names are not in the book of life. "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Then they will go away to eternal punishment." Matthew 25, verse 41 and 46. That horrific eternal destiny is what Paul referred to as those who are perishing, for Jesus several times indicated he had come so no one needs to perish, John 3:16 and 10:28. The last thing Paul mentioned is that in that great 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 verse, is that our rescue from perish is accomplished by the power of God. Oh my, that's a wonderful truth. God's power is the supreme, creative, sustaining, and final judging power. And God's power is the only power which can save us from our sin bondage and our sin condemnation. Do I hear cheers all around the world? Are you celebrating and living joyfully, confidently, in the power of God unleashed upon and into you by God's Holy Spirit?